Welcome to an exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. Today, we're bringing you a podcast briefing about the new DW 2.0 definition, developed by Bill Inman. I'm Hannah Smaltry.
And I'm Catherine Marquis, assistant editor. So what's the topic of the day, Hannah?
Well, it's data warehouses, and more specifically, the new data warehouse 2.0 term, otherwise known as the architecture of the next generation of data warehousing, as defined by the father of data warehousing himself, Bill Inman. You see, as Bill explains on his website, data warehousing has been around since the mid-1980s. But as it's evolved, the definition of the term data warehouse has morphed and changed and been reinterpreted by many people and vendors, and this has led to confusion in the market. As Bill diplomatically writes on his website, the thought leadership that had once been very clear surrounding data warehouses turned very murky. So Bill set out to define a new term, DW 2.0, which is a clear, concise definition of what a data warehouse should look like. He's even trademarked the term for reasons which we'll learn about in this interview. So please listen on as we discuss the components of a DW 2.0, the business benefits, and how to take the first steps toward implementing a DW 2.0.
To learn more, Hannah called on Bill Inman himself, founder of Inman Data Systems, based in Castle Rock, Colorado. Bill has been universally recognized as the father of data warehousing and is the creator of the Corporate Information Factory, and more recently, created the Government Information Factory. He has over 35 years of experience in database technology management and data warehouse design, and has been a keynote speaker for many industry conferences, seminars, and trade shows. He has also published more than 1,000 articles and 46 books about data management and data warehousing, and his books have been translated into 9 languages.
Thank you so much for talking with us today, Bill. What is Data Warehouse 2.0, and why did you create this new term?
Is the definition of the next generation of data warehouses. When you look at first generation data warehouses today, you find that they are missing some major elements. And so I tried to put in the architectural level those elements into what we are calling the second generation of data warehouses.
DW 2.0 is a trademark term. Who owns the trademark, and why is that important that it's trademarked?
I happen to own the trademark, and it's important because when you take a look at the term data warehouse, you find that there is no legal protection of that term, number one. And number two, in today's world, there's lots of vendors that are out there selling and building what they call data warehouses, but in fact, they're very different things. And so in terms of trying to have integrity to the terminology, that's why we created DW 2.0 and then put a legal protection on it.
So what are the differences between a first-generation data warehouse, or what people call the first-generation data warehouse, and a DW 2.0?
Well, I'll run through them very quickly. The first major difference is the recognition of the life cycle of data within the data warehouse. The second notion is that we should have metadata as an integral part of the data warehouse environment. The third notion is that we should be having both structured and unstructured data as part of the data warehouse. And then the fourth aspect is the ability to build the technology on a foundation that can change over time. Now, there's other differences, but those are the main ones.
Okay, and as I understand it, there's sort of 4 main components. I'd like to go through those. Can you tell us more about the interactive sector, as you define it?
The interactive sector is where most information enters the environment through transaction processing centers, that we're able to take application orientation of information, bring in transactions, have detailed high-performance interaction with the client, and this is where information first enters into the environment.
Okay, and I believe next is the integrated sector?
The integrated sector is what most people would recognize as a data warehouse. This is the place where data is integrated, and we start to have anywhere from 1 to 2 years' worth of data in this particular sector.
Okay, and the nearline sector?
The nearline sector is really an optional sector. It's a place where data is put after data becomes less popular in terms of its access, but still needed for analytical processes. It serves as a sort of buffer area for older bulk data.
And if it gets demoted from that sector, does it go to the archival sector?
Well, I'm not sure demoted is the right word for it, but certainly as data ages even more and the probability of access drops even more, it then is put into the archival sector where large bulk amounts of data are expected to be stored for a lengthy period of time.
But you can still access the data for analytical purposes when it's in the archival sector?
When data is in the archival environment, it's still accessible, but it's not accessible in the same way it is elsewhere. In the archival environment, you generally have a fair amount of time and energy that's spent in terms of finding the data in the first place. Whereas, say, in the interactive sector, or certainly the integrated sector, you go directly to the data itself. So, yes, it is available for analytical processing, but with different characteristics of how it's stored and how it's accessed.
Now, as I've read, I believe there's two other important concepts within DW 2.0. Can you talk about this concept of integrating text?
In data warehouses, to date, text has been something that has been woefully missing. That there's all kinds of very important text out there in the world. There's warranties, there's contracts, there's emails, there's medical records, and because the format of that data is in the form of text, it hasn't been able to be included with regular types of databases. And that's a shame because there's a lot of very valuable information that comes in the form of text. And so with DW 2.0, one of the foundations of DW 2.0 is the ability to gather that text, bring it into the data warehouse, and integrate it with the other structured data that you have there.
There's another term that I've read about, linkage. What does the term linkage mean in the DW 2.0 vernacular?
Linkage refers to the ability to take unstructured data and to be able to determine where it is relevant and useful in the structured world. Some forms of linkage are very straightforward, such as email or telephone numbers. Other forms of linkage are very non-straightforward and very sophisticated. So linkage merely refers to the ability to take data from one environment and the other environment and be able to make a meaningful relationship between the two.
We've talked about the four components, the integrated sector, the nearline sector, the archival sector, and the interactive sector first, and then integrating text and linkage. Are there any other that really important concepts within the DW 2.0 construct?
It's kind of interesting. In first-generation data warehousing, the whole notion of metadata was omitted, and for a variety of reasons that were, I'm sure, good reasons at the time. The truth of the matter is that metadata very much belongs inside a data warehouse as an integral part. And so when you look at DW 2.0, you find that metadata indeed is recognized in terms of its importance and the role that it plays in terms of making the environment an effective one.
I think I'm hearing cheers from data managers all over the world as you say that. Is it difficult to migrate from a first-generation data warehouse to a DW 2.0?
Well, the truth is that the answer is no. But the migration doesn't occur in a classical conversion fashion as we would take have done in the past when we had older systems that needed to be converted. Instead, the migration occurs in an almost very natural fashion, that one day we're not there and we wake up the next day and we are there. And so the migration is a very natural one that in many cases you don't even realize you're going through a migration.
Subliminal migration.
Well, yes. I liken it to the dew falling on the grass on a summer's day. If you've been spending the night out camping and you wake up in the morning, you never know that the dew's been forming and yet when you put your hand down on your sleeping bag, it's wet. And so it's the same sort of thing that it just simply happens.
Some of these concepts, I think, make a little more sense if you have a data management background. But if somebody had just a few minutes to convince a CEO or an executive to give them the budget or the time to work on a DW 2.0 project, how would you do that? In other words, what are the potentially biggest business benefits of the DW 2.0 approach?
Certainly one of the benefits is the lowered cost of the data warehouse itself, of the environment, that DW 2.0 types of technology and implementation cost far less than the way people are building first-generation data warehouses now. And there's not an executive that I know that isn't interested in cost. There's some other benefits as well in terms of the ability to store and manage data historically. And for some organizations, history of information is very important. Other organizations, it's not important. So if this were a company where historical information is important, I would point out just how sophisticated you could be in managing historical information.
And why does it cost so much less?
Well, there are several reasons why it costs less. Number one, the data is distributed over technologies that is less expensive to store and manage. For example, archival information is stored in a technology that costs 2 to 3 orders of magnitude less expense than would be on disk storage. That classically in first generation data warehouses, we store everything on disk storage. When we go to a DW2 dot environment, you find that you store the bulk of your data off over in archival storage, and in doing so, it costs you far less money. And that's just one aspect of the cost equation.
How is the market responding to the DW 2.0 concept? Are data warehouse vendors offering DW 2.0 certified products? Are people buying them? Are people implementing these?
Well, there's actually a few vendors out there now that have very much embraced the need for sophistication in building data warehouses. For example, the organization called Kaleido has built a foundation such that you can build your data warehouse and change with the requirements of the business, so that when business requirements change, that you have the ability to change the technology that your data warehouse is built on. And that means that you're going to have a very good long-term proposition for building and managing and being happy with your data warehouse. There are other vendors that are in the midst of looking very carefully at DW 2.0 other than Kaleido, but certainly Kaleido is a leading example of technology in support of DW 2.0.
And has anybody implemented this?
People have implemented pieces. I liken the DW 2.0 to be like the city of Rome, that the city of Rome was never built as a city. It was simply one person put up a cottage here, a next person put up a grocery store here, and 1,000 years later, we have the city of Rome. And in that regard, DW 2.0 is the same, that there's many different complex components, and people build them a sector or a piece at a time. So indeed, people are building DW 2.0, but they're building it a step at a time, not in an altogether frontal assault approach.
And if somebody wanted to learn more about this designation, where could they find more information?
Right now, there is a free website that we have called InmanCIF.com, and on there is a description of DW 2.0. We anticipate a book coming out later on the latter part of this year or the first part of next year, and those are the places where you can learn more.
And I'm kind of curious on a personal note, Bill, what are you up to these days?
Well, I have a software company that's working on unstructured data, plus I'm working with some other developers on some other interesting projects. So I've been working about 80 hours a week, and my wife wishes that I would slow down and take some time for some other things. And you know something? I think she's right.
To learn more about DW 2.0, Bill Inman, or Inman Data Systems, please visit InmanCIF.com.
I also want to remind listeners that you can find more data warehousing articles and resources at SearchDataManagement.com. Check out articles on Gartner's Magic Quadrant for data warehouses, learn about careers in the data management market today, and read expert advice on data warehouse appliances. Also, if you have a specific question, ask one of our data management experts using our Ask the Expert feature on our website. You can find links to all of these helpful resources and more on the download page for this podcast. Remember, you can always find this podcast and our most recent podcast at searchdatamanagement.com. Our series of data management podcast briefings is a great way to introduce new people or new managers to some of these more technical concepts. And remember to add our searchdatamanagement.com RSS feed to your newsreader. Subscribe to our email newsletters and check back frequently for articles about data integration, business intelligence, and many other data management topics.
And of course, we are always interested in what you have to say. Please feel free to email us anytime with your thoughts, comments, and general ideas about data management. Thank you for listening to our podcast today. Signing off from Search Data Management, I'm Hannah Smaltry, newswriter.
And I'm Catherine Marquis, assistant editor. You've been listening to a SearchDataManagement.com podcast briefing. Have a great day.